You haven't even read that?
Wait, what are you doing with the book?
So he has the confidence to finish the story.
Hear now the words of the witches.
This is Kevin, and welcome to Words of the Witches, the Charmed podcast that will guide you through the lesser-known published material in the Charmed universe and decide how it fits into the grand narrative of the TV series.
All right, so this is episode 2 of Words of the Witches.
Some updates about the show. We will now be a bi-weekly show. Every other Friday will be coming out. And in addition to the novels and the comic books, we will also be doing the magazines. So those are in the mix. So I'm in it for the long haul, if you are, and this will be exciting. So yay.
We are going to introduce my guest. Her name is Brittany Rossetti. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm doing well.
I'm very excited to have you, another Charmed crazy fan, which is always awesome to talk to somebody like that.
Yes, I definitely put myself in the category of obsessed, and that is fine with me.
Did you know I had a website called Charmed Obsessed back in the day?
I did not. I was apparently late to the bandwagon because I was never able to go to the site.
Oh, yeah. It was on GeoCities, and it was like from like maybe 2002 to like to the end, to 2006. So it was a fun little endeavor that I was working on, and man. I used to had a guest book and all that stuff.
I wish I would have discovered it back then. Then.
Yeah. So what was your relationship to the show? Like, how did you discover Charmed?
Well, it actually released when I was 3 years old. So I didn't actually start, you know, watching the show when it aired. I didn't get into it until I was in the fourth grade. So my next door neighbor used to watch us after school, and her sister gave her the first 3 seasons to watch on her own. And she would put them on after school, and I got hooked on the first episode, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to watch this. So I started watching it with them until we hit, you know, the end of season 3. And I was like, oh my God, I need the rest of this. I need to know how this ends. And so every time, you know, I would go to Walmart, I would beg my parents to buy me the seasons. And eventually I collected all of them. And it was around the time that like season 8 was coming to an end, like on the TV. So I was kind of in that part of it. So I got to, you know, get with season 8, but it was at the time then the show was kind of coming to an end, so I didn't get to collect as much as I would want to over the years and be in the middle of that, but I've done my part over the years.
That is so cool and so crazy, because I remember I was just like waiting for DVDs to come out. It was like, yeah, it's third or fourth season in. I'm like, when are the DVD? I wanted VHS, because before that was before like DVDs were like real popular. So I'm like, I want some Charmed VHS to come out like right now. Where like Buffy has them. Why doesn't Charmed have to be? So it's so funny at the different how it was already out when you started watching it. So that's crazy.
I did luck into that, but you know, if I could go back in time, my age right now, I can tell you that my bank account would 100% be drained on all the merchandise and everything. So
that is true.
It's a what if.
And you have, like me,
yes,
a lot of collections.
Yes, we both do have very extensive collections. And it's honestly things, and I get asked all the time in the Charmed groups and everything when I reluctantly post my stuff. I'm not huge into, I don't share anything on my personal profiles just because my personal life friends, they don't really like any of it, and it's a different era. I'm weird. I'm more into like the 90s TV than I am anything else, but so they're not really into it. So I just share in our groups sometimes, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, like your collection, when did you get all this stuff? And honestly, it's been since the fourth grade. I started with the DVD collections, and then I had a couple of books. And then my biggest thing was the Valkyrie action figures that I collected, and then just sparingly ever since. But just within the last 2 years, my collection has grown significantly. So it's been interesting.
And you've made some of your own stuff, which is very impressive.
Yes, I'm I do that for my personal collection. I'm a graphic designer. That's my career, with a studio art minor. So art is kind of ingrained within my personality. And so I've taken that and been able to create the things that I love the most, which is Charmed, and been able to do that. And I love it, just being able to connect with the show in that way. But I love props more than anything, just to kind of recreate the show around me. So that's what I mainly do.
They have a certain energy. They kind of bring the show to life, like in your own space. Exactly. It's really cool.
I've always said that, you know, if one day by happenstance I become a multimillionaire, I would love to have a replica of the house, but I would be crazy and try to build it like the actual set interior. And so I want all of the things to put in the house.
So what is your favorite season?
Oh, that is a very tough question. I know for me personally, I've seen season 1 through 3 more than anything. I love those seasons just because it had a completely different feel than the rest of the show. And I mean, not only because Prue was there, but it had like almost a darker, witchier feel. It became more campy a little bit during like the last few seasons. But I think probably season 3 is my favorite.
That's my favorite too. That's my favorite too. Yeah. Like, yes. Because I feel like they grew into their own. They knew the characters really well. They really bonded as a family. And the whole arc of season 3 was just really well
exactly.
done.
Exactly. So. And I like that during that time, Prue also came more out of her shell. And so you get to see a different side of her. And just some of the episodes with her, I love seeing that side of her. But also, you know, Piper becomes less of a little peacemaker, and she's more, you know, confident within herself,
finding her own strength.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm 100% with you. It's hard to choose, though.
Yes, I'm just going to go out beyond the cover, which is just a little bit of what's happening in my world right now. Okay. I am doing another podcast, another Charmed podcast, mm-hmm. called Hanging with the Hallowells with my friend Sean, finishing up 6 through 8. So you can always go listen to that and follow that. And I guess we'll go to which word of the day.
So I had to go with my second favorite, you know, universe, which was Harry Potter. And I know how popular that one is too, but it is my second. I'm sorry for all the Harry Potter, you know, fans. I'm also one, but I'm a huge charm nerd. But mine would have to be Howler.
Howler. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I never read the Harry Potter books either. I only saw the movies.
Oh, really?
So I'm trying to remember what Howler is.
So the Howler is like a letter that you can send to people, and you could probably remember this visually within your head. But the red letter, do you remember when it opens up and it goes Ronald Weasley?
Yes, yes, I do. Okay,
and that has always stuck with me, especially like the cinematic version of it. Just that. Entire graphics of that. And I love the idea of being able to send somebody like a voice message, but it move its mouth and yell at somebody in the same way that you would. I think it's amazing.
Cool. I like that. Howler is Brittany's word for the day. My word is kind of a phrase. It's higgitus figgitus. Do you remember where that is from?
Oh my gosh. It's within the back of my brain, but I can't pull it. What is this from?
It is from a movie, a Disney movie called Sword in the Stone.
Oh my gosh, as soon as you said that, I made the
because I am a big Disney nerd as well.
Yes.
You know, because I go to Disney World all the time. I was at the parks. I'm always like seeing the next movies and stuff like that. And I thought that was really appropriate. It's Higgitus Figgitus. It's Merlin talking, he's casting spells and he's saying all these words and telling Wart Arthur what they mean. And it's really fun. It's like books are always first, you know, so it's kind of appropriate for this too.
That's a great one. I have not watched that movie in so long. I need to.
Yeah, people forget about that one. So I'm just like, I'm going to bring it back. You know, some really great stuff going on in there.
Yes. And I actually think that we have that on VHS. I won't be able to watch it currently because I don't have a VHS player. But
so we're going to get right into the book. It's called Kiss of Darkness. It has Prue in the forefront and Phoebe and Piper in the background. We got the Transamerica Pyramid and some fireworks in the background. And it says, Kiss of Darkness sealed with a curse. The back of the book says, In the shadow of the tower, we lovers to entwine, bringing heat to breath and life to power, and forging your soul to mine. Something changed Prue Hallowell on New Year's Eve when a stranger gave her the most passionate kiss of her life. Now Prue feels driven to kiss every man she meets. At first, Piper and Phoebe think the new Prue is fun, But when Prue grows weaker with every kiss, the Charmed Ones know that evil is at work. Now Piper and Phoebe must save their sister, but can they do it with only the power of two?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. This was actually the first book I bought. I was in the Barnes & Noble, and I just saw, I'm like, oh, Charmed has books. And so this is my very first Charmed book. Right now, it looks like it's a little bit, little rough shape. Looks like it might have been stabbed at some point. I don't know what that's about. But it has character, and I'm proud of that. It lived just as I lived. So
exactly. Any book that has some wear means that is well-loved.
Yes. This was written by Brandon Alexander, and it was published February 1st, 2000, with a reprint on July 3rd, 2000. And it's supposed to take place between Season 1, Episode 9, The Witch is Back, and Season 1, Episode 10, Wicca Envy. Okay, did you want to start the synopsis?
I will. So we open up to the girls in this cafe called the Rail Yard Cafe, which was randomly introduced in this book. It was never mentioned in the show. And so I thought that was interesting. I didn't know if we were going off of maybe Quake didn't exist, but it does come up. So that's great. So the girls are sitting around and they're talking, and they are talking about this New Year's Eve party. And Piper is still the manager at Quake. So she is going to be hosting the things, and there's this band that's going to be playing. And so they're very excited about this. And the girls are talking about not having dates for the night. And Phoebe is Phoebe. You know, she's very, very not happy about not having a date. But, you know, Prue's like, I'm going to focus on my career. Like, I'm not that worried about not having a date. But during this time, you discover that Prue actually has another party to go to before she can go to Quake. And it is kind of a work function party held by this man named Lloyd Claiborne. And he is this really rich man who does a bunch of art collecting. And so the girls are sitting there talking, and Prue is saying that she's fine with not having a date. She's going to focus on her career. But you come to determine that she is very cautious at the possibility of, you know, dating and men finding out about her being a witch and the possibility of running into another guy who's a warlock. It's like PTSD for her, for Piper, you know, she's living vicariously through her. And what I thought was interesting about like the timeline. So this is, you know, after Rex and Hannah have been vanquished. So this is, we are being introduced to, you know, Claire is in charge of Bucklands. So I was figuring out that timeline in my head. So I'm glad that you mentioned that as well.
That's why I'm weird, because I'm finding kind of like the timeline online about where it's supposed to take place. And they based it off of kind of like, because this was supposed to be New Year's.
Yes.
And they said, you know, say it's right around the time Claire becomes boss, but according to where they put it, it's like right before. So Rex and Hannah are still in charge in episode 10. So that's a little bit of
it throws you off. Distance there. I didn't know if it was supposed to be the beginning of season 2, because, you know, we never have mention of Andy during this.
Right. There's no mention of Andy, and there's no mention of Leo.
I know.
Well, spoiler, but like Piper's always looking for she's with this guy for most of the book. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, she just asked Leo out. She's not going to be interested in any other guy.
Right?
So
it's very interesting.
It would have made more sense if it was after 10 or after episode 14, you know, when he's in that kind of gray zone. But
100%. So the girls are sitting there talking about, you know, the night's events. And this French man walks up, and his name is Robert Galliard. And he actually met Prue around a year before at an auction. He is a Parisian antique dealer. So they've kind of got some things in common. And she thinks that he's handsome. Phoebe's like drooling at him just from the accent alone. And, you know, he asks Prue if she's going to the party at the Claiborne Mansion that night. And she says yes, but she seems very cold, and the girls were calling her what, an ice queen or something like that.
It's Elsa.
Yes. Elsa before Elsa. And yes. You know, which is very Prue anyway. She has that wall built up most of the time that we know her. So, you know, the girls are like, well, why wouldn't you want to go out with him? What's the thing? And she's just, they discover that she's very cautious of being around men, and them discovering she's a witch, and what if they're a warlock, or, you know, something bad happens. And so it scares her, the possibility of getting into a relationship, which I find really interesting because it doesn't go into that much within the show as
right
as far as Prue's end, you know.
Although, even though they don't mention Andy, I do find it to be very fitting with what just happened, you know, because Andy just broke up with her. She yes. just did the truth spell to figure out how it would feel. And this would be after all of that. So it would make sense why she would have these kind of feelings right now.
Oh, 100%. And so during this time, the girls look over and there's actually a psychic in the restaurant. And she comes up to their table and asks if they want a reading. And she asks for $5 a piece, which, you know, is interesting to me. and the girls give it to them. Piper actually pays since she convinced Prue to do it. And
she's like, yeah, you better.
Yeah, we're all doing it, Prue. Join in. Gosh, get the stick out of your butt. Like, come on. So the girls, you know, they get the psychic reading, and she's a psychic that uses tarot cards. So Prue is kind of immersed with the look of these tarot cards. They look very old and antique to her. So she starts asking the psychic. She could care less what's on the card at this point. She's just like, ooh, these are cool looking. What era are they from? The psychic's just like, you know, giving her a blasé answer. You know, they're in her family. They've gone back generations. And so the girls come out with readings, and the psychic first starts with Piper, and she tells Piper, it is your time to be noticed. Very vague, but okay. Mm-hmm. And Phoebe is told that she's going to come into money, which, you know, for Phoebe, that's...
It's like, woo!
I know. She's like, well...
It's like, I don't have a job, you know, it's great.
I wonder how you're going to come into money, Phoebe. Like, you're going to win the lottery? How's this going to happen? Right. You don't work. And Prue is told, she actually flips over a card, and it is a black tower with lightning surrounding it with all of these geometric patterns, and it's very ominous. And the psychic's telling her, you know, she doesn't want to give her a straightforward answer. She's very nervous about this card. You can see that she's physically anxious about pulling this card. And Prue's, you know, Prue, and she's like, no, tell me, like, what is this? I can physically see that you're upset about this. And she says that the card actually means that darkness will surround her. And we come to find out that the psychic name's actually Elena. So she tells Prue, I will tell you for another, what, $5 or something like that. And Prue's like, ha ha, like, I'm not going to give you any more money. This is a scam. Right.
I'm leaving. Very funny. Yeah.
And so she has a very ominous warning, and she's like, pay the price now or you will pay the price then. And it's a very ominous thing that happens. And Prue's just like, whatever.
This sounds kind of threatening. Like, yeah.
Exactly. What's going to happen? And that is where that kind of scene leaves off.
Yes. So then we cut to Piper and Phoebe at the Quake party. Yeah, I guess it was right away, New Year's Eve. I didn't realize that when I was reading them. I'm like, oh, it's like now.
Yeah.
but they're at the Quake party that is, you know, Piper's kind of hosting because she's the manager. So she's kind of like keeping tabs on things. She's considering the interests of this guy alone at a table that's staring at her. She's like, oh, he's kind of cute. It's like, oh, I'm nervous. I don't know.
Girl, it's your time to be noticed. Come on, let's go.
Right. It's like my fortune. Yeah. Phoebe has just been being Phoebe. She's dancing with like a whole bunch of guys.
All the guys.
being the flirt that she is. Yeah. But she does check up on Piper every once in a while. And she tries to egg Piper on into talking with that guy. So Piper is just really nervous. She's thinking about it. She's cautious. But then she messes up the courage. She's about to go ask him out. And then she turns around and smashes a bunch of wine glasses.
Mm-hmm. Very Piper.
Yes, right. It's like, especially the season one, like the clumsiness, it's so great.
I can relate to that on a very deep level. So sad.
Oh, I find that quite endearing, so that's good. Oh, but then the guy, he actually sees this, and his name is Jake, and he approaches her, and they do a little bit of flirting. He tells her he's like a set designer for movies, and yeah, so then they're flirting. Then we have cut to Prue. At her party, mansion party.
Yes.
She is.
Fancy schmancy party.
Fancy schmancy. Really rich, really hoity toity. She's there for work. This is like the Claiborne party, mm-hmm. Lloyd Claiborne. And Claire is there. And yeah, it's just everybody's there. Lloyd greets her and he compliments her work. He likes what Prue is doing. And he says that Claire is a bit stuffy.
That was my favorite part.
I'm like, yeah, she is.
Yes. Talk about, like, we think that Prue is a little stick in the mud, but it's really Claire. She's an awful character, in my opinion. But, you know,
I know.
The boss type, I know. It's fine. We don't see much of her.
I was like, what is up with Prue and her bosses? They're all like evil or like unpleasant and just not nice people.
I guess Charm just wanted to cast all of the boss types as like, they're awful. We all hate our bosses. It's fine. Right.
Oh yeah, Claire comes up to her. She's like, what did you say to Lloyd? Why are you talking to Lloyd? What did he say?
Paranoia.
I know. She's like, you better have been working. Like, you're here to work, not have fun.
Listen, she needs to get laid, in my opinion.
For real, for real, for real. And then we see Elena the fortune teller. Well, Prue sees Elena the fortune teller there, and she's like, "What the hell is she doing here?"
Yes,
she's just disturbed.
Very foreboding. She was like in these black cloaks instead of her colorful scarves, and it was very foreboding. And she just runs randomly out of, you know, out of the room and down the stairs, and you're like, okay, this was dramatic much.
It was so weird.
I do feel like that setup could have been explained a little bit differently, or could have happened differently. Never even really gave much of an explanation as to why she was there.
Right. I still don't understand. Like, she was following her. Like, this is just really weird. Yeah. Like, this doesn't make sense.
Nope.
there is a line that was stated in the book. Prue wonders if her father knew that he married a witch. I thought that was interesting. I'm like, he knows he did.
Yeah.
So that was, I'm like, you know the answer. This shouldn't be in that book.
But I do question whether or not, like, we never really discover this, because obviously Victor knows after he's married to her that
sure,
he's a witch. But when in their relationship did, you know, she come out as being a witch to him? That I think would be interesting. Honestly, at this point,
yeah,
doubt it.
I guess how soon in the relationship? Yeah, did he know before they were married? Did he find out after they were married? That would be an interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. Who knows? But anyway,
one day. All right. Then we have. Robert comes. She sees Robert, and that's the French guy, and they make note of the exotic necklace collection that's in the case. Robert's planning on buying this very intricate emerald one. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a nice moment, because like it felt very Prue, you know, they're identifying the necklaces and, you know, trying to find the history, and that's really kind of cool.
I thought that they would be a good couple to like expand upon.
Yeah.
But I mean, would we really want Prue with somebody who's basically exactly like her?
That's true.
They say,
yeah. I mean, it's hard.
So,
because they came close with Jack too. Because I mean, Jack was a little bit more cutthroat, but they were very similar too.
Yeah, he was more of a child, which I liked that aspect for Prue, because she's just so, you know, uptight that he brought a lot of that out of her. But I don't know. I don't know if Robert and her would make a good couple or not. But I did like that moment. I thought it was very cute because they could bond.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like we're working together. We're doing our thing. Yes. I'm like, that is fun. That's cool.
We're both smart.
Yes, But oh yeah, then he opens the case. Does he have the key? Did he just always have the key?
He's just like, oh, it's gonna be mine. You know, whatever. We're just gonna take it. I don't even own it yet. Probably haven't even put a down payment on it. You may find out here. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll just play with it for a little while. And he like seductively places it on Prue, and but then you feel him back away, and then Happy New Year! Lights go out, and then Prue is kissed, like the most passionate kiss. She is swept away, but she can't see who it is. It's completely dark, and when the lights come back on, she is convinced that it was Robert, because that's the last person that was there. But she looks and she found him and kissed him, and she's like, this isn't the same as that one kiss that I just had.
Which, when they set that up and she was like, oh well, he was across the room, he couldn't be the one that kissed me, I was like, okay, did he blink? Like,
right,
what was this? So it was very like interesting. But also, how did he go from like standing behind her, like you're physically right there, to
right
across the room? Like, she didn't travel far in the blink of an eye.
He's like, I'm running away. Like,
oh, I tried to find you in the dark. No, you didn't. You like ran across the room. What was this?
Maybe he's afraid of the dark or something. He's like, I gotta get out of here.
He hid in the corner. It's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, she was disappointed that it wasn't Robert, and she has the urge to kiss every guy to figure out who the mystery man was now.
Yes, because that's immediately what you just feel like doing. You just jump it out.
She's like, yeah, who kissed me? Who is it? Was it you? Was it you?
She just makes out with half the party. It's fine. Like, that's normal.
But then she puts the necklace away, and the end of that kind of chapter. Yes. So. Okay.
And then we cut back to Quake, and Piper is dancing with this hot Jake Stone. And, you know, they're having a great time, and Phoebe comes up to them, and Drake's trying to convince Piper for another dance. She's like, oh, but I've got to go check the kitchen. And he's like, no, like, come dance. And Phoebe's like, coming up, and isn't it a great night? Jake's like, yeah, if I could convince your sister to continue dancing with me. It's almost midnight. I want to kiss her. And, and so Piper's like, okay, well, I'll stay. And so they're turning to each other, and people start counting down. And then randomly somebody goes, Piper. And she turns around, and Jake from the kitchen, you know, she's got to go help him. And so
Billy.
Yes. Sorry. Billy from the kitchen. There's so many guys in this book at this
point. There are so many.
So Billy is from the chef in the kitchen. He needs Piper because apparently a pipe burst, which I feel like a lot of the plot lines in this, I could see like them picking and grabbing things from the show and just,
this happened before. Yeah,
like, okay, first it was Phoebe and now it's some random guy in the kitchen. It's fine. And so Piper doesn't get her kiss with Jake, but she turns around as she's walking away, and Jake gives Phoebe a little kiss on the cheek, which, you know, it was sweet. I'm glad he didn't just start making out with Phoebe.
Right. That would have been a twist.
But I did think, you know, I was like, oh, poor Piper, because Phoebe's always the one that gets the guy, and she has no problem meeting anybody. And she finally has this guy, Jake, which, newsflash, she has Leo. I don't know where this guy comes from. But, and she's really liking him, and she wants to kiss him. But of course, she has all of these responsibilities that she's got to do. And Phoebe's just like, money, da di da, I have no job. I'm just going to dance with all the guys and then kiss on this guy. And then, like,
everybody wants me. I'm Phoebe.
Exactly.
The amazing Phoebe.
So, you know, I felt really bad for Piper in that moment. But
yeah, yeah.
And she was, her heart was very like, down on that moment, and she just walked away so sad. I felt so bad. Or we cut back to Prue, and she's coming to Quake with Robert, which he kind of invited himself to go to the party, because she's like, oh, like, I'm not staying. And he's like, oh, where are you going? And she's like,
it's like, I'll come with you.
Yeah, I'll come. I'll check it out. And she's like, it's a completely different type of party. And he's like, oh, it's fine, you know. And so they cut to Prue coming into Quake, and, you know, she turns into the restaurant, and there is Phoebe and Piper. Just, you know, they always find each other. Just out of the blue, and she's like, "Hey, Prue, hey, Piper." And it's just like you turn around and they're there. So they're there, and Phoebe just comes out and she's like, "Well, Piper has a new love interest," and Piper just gives her this response. She's just so sour about the situation. She's like, "I'm not the one that got a kiss." And I was like, "Listen, the jealousy is real." And you know, Phoebe's like, "Oh, it's just because you walked away. He's so into you." I'm like, listen, okay, it takes a lot for Phoebe to be like, "Yeah, you can have him. It's fine." How many times in this whole series have they played Piper and Phoebe against a man?
I know.
It's always them too. And I'm like, most of the time Piper ends up with them anyway, so that's great. Phoebe can get her own. It's fine.
Right.
So then, you know, Piper's like, "Oh, we had an emergency in the kitchen. Apparently I'm the only one who knows how to use a wrench." Out of all of the people in the kitchen, all of the people, I'm, you know, girl power, I commend her. Like, she's a woman. You got this. But out of all of the damn people, she's the only one who knows how to use a wrench.
People at Creek are just lazy. That's what it is. They're like, really, Piper would do it.
Really, it's what that boils down to. So, you know, Piper walks away and Prue is with Robert and Phoebe, and Prue, you know, starts talking to them and they order a champagne bottle and she barely has a sip when she all of a sudden gets another urge to go kiss random people. And I'm like, in this moment, how do you not know that this isn't normal?
Yeah. And she's already starting to kind of be rude to Robert at this point.
Which I felt bad for Robert, but I did feel like he had a bit of that puppy dog quality, you know, just
sure
attached,
following along.
Exactly. Yeah. And Phoebe, you know, is sitting there with Robert and they're like talking for a hot minute while Prue's just making out with half of the people in the club or the restaurant. And Phoebe and Robert's just watching her and Phoebe's feeling so bad about the situation. She's just like, "Oh, I'm sure it's, you know, how much Prue drank." And he lifts up her glass and she drank like half of the champagne soup. And he's like, "I don't think that's it, but okay." And she felt so bad. And, you know, quite honestly, I would feel bad for anybody in this situation. But Prue, knowing who she is, like, you're a witch, how do you not know that this is not a normal response?
Right. Maybe the urge is consuming her or something. Because she was going crazy. She was even using her powers on a like chick to get away from her guy.
I know.
Right?
I thought that was the greatest moment. She's like, "Get this bitch out of the way. I'm going to go kiss her man.
It's your man."
And then as soon as she like kisses these men, it's at this point where she's like, when she kisses them and after she breaks the kiss, she's seeing like this fog around their face and they look like they're decaying essentially. And then she blinks and like it's all gone. Okay, like that's also not a normal response, but
we're just
going with it.
I just pretend I didn't see that and carry on. Let's kiss some more.
And the girl that she like flew into the air just comes up to her and she's like, "Hey, get away from him." Like, you're not right. Question why you randomly flew across the room. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So she's like, "Oh," Prue's like, "You can have him back. It's my leftovers now. It's fine."
Right. Like,
so during this whole time, like, she's just trying to kiss people and she's just trying to find this mystery person that she kissed because it lit a fire within her and she's got to figure it out. It's the best kiss ever. And every time she kisses people, she's like, "Oh, this is so dull. There's no passion." And, you know, it's a very interesting situation. So she goes through the club. And she's going through all of these guys, but every time this happens and this fog goes across her face, she just brushes it aside like it's normal. And she's like, "Okay, on to the next one."
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sitting with Phoebe and Robert. It comes up that, oh, well, you know, Robert kissed Prue at the party and, you know, apparently it didn't... It didn't mean much because he's like, "I'd be glad to kiss her again, but she won't get back over here." Like, apparently she's looking for something else. And yeah. It goes into like how they first met, which was at an auction the last year, which we mentioned previously. And they were bidding over the same piece. It was an Etruscan urn. And they're both like, oh, yes, Prue loves bidding wars because, you know, she's very competitious. She, you know, she wants to win. And he ended up letting her have that, which I thought was the sweetest thing. He's like, oh, I just knew that it was going to make her happy. So I just let her have it. So I thought that was very sweet.
Right.
And he was like, oh, after I left San Francisco, I thought of her every day, which, you know, I would think that you would have her number to at least call her at Dublin's, but no, you just randomly show up a year later and you're like, let's pick up where we left off.
It's very Disney of him. It's like, my long-lost love is waiting for me until I return. Yes.
It's like, you know, she could, it's been like a year or, you know, at least 9 months since they've seen each other. She could have had a boyfriend in that time or been engaged. You know, some people jump on that pretty quick. So you never know. But he's like, no, she was waiting for me. So, you know, they're sitting there talking and he's like, I've tried everything I can think of to get her attention and keep that in your thoughts. Because apparently that sticks out later on. But
right.
He's like, oh, but things just didn't turn out as planned. And then he tells Phoebe, he's like, oh, we'll tell Prue, you know, that if she wants the rest of her champagne to call him. He pours the rest of her champagne glass into the champagne bottle and takes the bottle with him, which I didn't know how to feel about that at that moment. It was a little odd. Like, I don't know if he was being cheap and he really didn't have the much money. And he was like, oh, I'm not going to let this go to waste. I'm just going to go get hammered.
Super weird. Super weird.
Yes. And Phoebe did call that out as odd. So that was good. She was there. It's fine. And she, you know, it ends with Phoebe calling Prue nuts because she's still kissing other people and Robert.
Prue, you are nuts. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So fun. Like, handsome French guy who I'm guessing he makes, you know, decent money. He's probably not super duper rich or anything, but he makes decent money. He seems like a nice guy. She's just like, nope, we're good. I'm going to kiss all of these random dudes. And Phoebe's like, well, hell, I'll take them if you don't want them.
Yes. All right. Then we have a dream. Prue is dreaming. Yes. She's dreaming that she's at Lord Claiborne's mansion. It's New Year's Day. And she's, you know, imagining, she goes downstairs. She imagines the mysterious man in a black robe. It's a very erotic dream. He's kind of seducing her. Mm-hmm. She's like just craving that kiss again. And then she wakes up and we have Phoebe and Piper in the kitchen. Piper, I'm not going through all the details, but they're talking about like how Prue is weird. And then they talk about how they need a new logo for Quake and they're going to hire somebody. And Piper decides to hire Phoebe as an artist for Quake's new logo.
I thought that was super weird.
Yeah.
We've never known Phoebe to be like artistic in that way.
Right. That was more of a Paige thing.
Yes. Right. And so it's like, okay, you're just compensating because Paige isn't here. That's fine. Whatever.
Right. but yeah, she's hired to be an artist for Quake. Although I don't know if Piper was very impressed either when she was seeing her drawings later.
Right.
So maybe that is indicative of her talent. It's like, But, and then Prue comes down the stairs. She tells him about her dream. She's calling him the Midnight Phantom. Ooh. Then Robert calls and he's looking for Prue. And Prue's like, no, I'm not going to talk to him. So she tells Robert that Prue is out. And then almost immediately after, Claire calls. People at the mansion party got sick. They go to the park.
Yes.
They have like a little picnic in the park and they play Frisbee and they reminisce. And I thought that was nice, talking about all their childhood memories and things like that. Really cute. And then at one point, they play the Frisbee. The Frisbee flies off into the distance, into like a bush. And Prue goes to go fetch it. She sees some skateboarder guys. And she's like, oh, they look sexy.
They're like college age dudes.
Right. They're college, all these young people. And she's like, yeah, I want some college kisses. And yeah. She grabs a guy and, you know, she kisses him, the whole decaying, disturbing images come over her again. But the guy's fine. She's like, you know what? I must have kissed death that night.
Mm-hmm. And that's a weird assumption for you to just immediately jump in to.
It's like, what?
I have realized, like, I don't know if it's just because, like, when we're watching the show versus, like, reading it in the novel, it takes them a lot longer to figure this stuff out. And it's, like, days of things happening. And it's really insignificant, but it takes them, like, 5 days to figure out really what's happening to Prue, you know? It didn't make any sense to me. I was like, okay, guys. Normally, you're better at your game. Like, you should put two and two together at this point.
Well, I was reading it. It felt like I was going around in circles. It's like, what is going on? Taking so long. Get to the point here. Exactly.
Like, somebody go check the book. Like, damn. And then she's like, okay, well, why does these weird images emerge every time I kiss somebody? And she's like, Quake is when that started. So it has to do with something with Quake. Piper and Phoebe are just like, why are you kissing all these random people? And she's like, it's none of my business who I kiss. And just snaps at them. And mind you, like, Prue's like near 30, just kissing these young people. Yeah. Like, it's a bit off-putting. She's like, well, I don't know what's going on with me, and I'll kiss whoever and whenever I want to kiss them. And they're like, okay.
Well, someone's defensive.
Yep. And then it skips to like 2 days after that. So again, like, I don't understand the storyline. We're skipping all of these days and all of these things are happening. And, you know, she hung up the phone, and apparently there were several people at Quake who got sick as well. So could be connected, could not be, who knows. But apparently the Board of Health is investigating it, and Piper's freaking out because she's like, oh my God, did I poison people? Am I going to get fired? It's right. All on me. I was like, girl, you didn't cook the food. You're fine. And, you know, Phoebe's trying to console her, and it comes out that Billy, and he was the assistant chef.
Assistant chef, yes. Okay.
He got sick, and Piper's really, you know, upset about that, and because apparently they've got this really good friendship, and she's like, oh, well, I hope he's okay. And Piper was invited on a date with the Jake Stone guy, the hot guy from Quake, that she didn't get to kiss. And right. He is a set designer, right? And
yes, for like movies.
Yes. And so he invited her to a premiere that was happening, and she ordered this pretty purple dress that she was going to wear, and she was really anxious about it. And so her dress arrives, and this like nerdy looking dude shows up to deliver her dress, and Prue starts hitting on this delivery guy.
It was like, what, 16, 17?
Right? He's like, really? Like, young. Ooh.
And maybe 19. Maybe make him legal. He's probably like 19,
yes,
but still.
Yes, let's make him legal. But Piper and Phoebe are like, you know, he's a nerd. When did this become hot?
I'm like, nerds? I think, right. But I thought it was kind of low. Like, this book is like nerd shaming. Like, know. Oh my gosh.
I was like, man, get off your high horse, girls. But apparently, you know, Prue's kissing him, and they're like, what the hell is going on? And, you know, they kind of brush it aside, you know, after Prue's done slobbering all over this guy. Phoebe's kind of just going over all of these events, and she's like, okay, well, I'm going to go up to the book and see what's going on. So she starts stumbling through the book, and, you know, she's thinking, well, maybe it could be Robert because he took the champagne that Prue drank. And she's like going through all of these things, and she comes across a spell, and it's a love spell. She's like, well, it has to have a potion. So she's like, well, maybe he used the champagne and the potion to get Prue to fall in love with him. And that's kind of where she leaves off, because she's thinking that Robert is now a warlock trying to get Prue to fall in love with him.
So then Piper goes on her romantic date with Jake. But before they do that, she decides to go to the hospital to see Billy. Mm-hmm. She has Jake go to, take her to go visit, which he's not really thrilled about, but he's appeasing her. And then, you know, they have like little heart to heart. It's really nice that she is caring about him. You know, she's really, I think she probably feels responsible in a sense. And so that's always a really nice moment. So they have the little chat, and I don't know if it really goes anywhere or means anything, but it's still nice.
Yeah.
And then she finally goes to the premiere. That's right. They're having a limo. And they, you know, have some nice chats. Robert's concerned that maybe she's into Billy. And then they almost kiss again.
But then they arrive.
They arrive. Like, oh, we're here.
Gotta get out.
Right. So then they get on the runway or the red carpet. They're walking down, cameras everywhere. And then this lady starts stepping on Piper's skirt. It's just like feeling it tug on her. And she's like, what is going on? And but she keeps walking. And the skirt kind of falls clean off. And she's like, what? And so she frees. Yeah, she freezes time. She freezes everybody. She's like, oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. I'm going to take my skirt and I'm just going to run away.
It was so sad. I was like,
oh, my goodness.
Only Piper.
Right. This only happened to you. Yeah.
Luckily, she does have the power to freeze time. So she can, like, you know, freeze the moment so she's not as embarrassed. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she ran away with her dress and left Robert wondering what just happened. And then Prue falls asleep at Buckland's. She dreams of her Midnight Phantom again. Mm-hmm. He's placing the emerald necklace on her. And then when she wakes up, Robert is there. He's vying again for attention, just trying. He's really adamant about getting with Prue.
I'm telling you.
But Prue is just like super rude, like really like saying some nasty stuff. I can't remember exactly what she said, but she was just really like abrasive and kind of pushing him away and just saying some nasty things like no.
Yeah. Well, he brings the bottle of champagne that he saved.
Right. Really, here you go. I saved this for you.
Don't worry. It's really flat and gross now.
That's true. She's like, ew, no.
I poured the backwash back into it, just letting you know. It was a very weird gesture, and I don't know if it was
that's true.
His personality or what, but that was a weird moment. And she was like, yeah. This is gross. I don't want this. I would be right there with her. I'd be like, oh, thanks. He's like, oh, I was thinking you could keep the bottle.
Any it. Right.
Weirdo. There's some interesting moments in this book, I gotta tell you.
Oh, yeah.
And so we jump back to Prue now sleeping. And she has another dream at the Claiborne Mansion. And this mystery guy shows up. And he actually starts choking her. Like trying to kill her, like
yeah, ooh.
Which
at that moment I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm done, but not for Prue, not for Prue. She's like, oh, that was weird.
Yeah, and she wakes up, and you know she's like, oh, it was just a nightmare. Everything's fine. I'm gonna find some more people to kiss tomorrow, and everything's gonna be okay. And jeez, this book. But she really wanted to find out who this mystery guy was. So she was like, well, maybe I'll get a copy of the guest list. And maybe there was somebody there that, you know, it was. And then she was like getting ready to go to work. And she was like spraying this perfume on, but she couldn't smell anything.
Right. She's like, I'll put some more on.
She has to do like three perfumes. And you're just like, who in their right mind? Even if your perfume, you think you can't smell it. Like.
Right.
I wouldn't go through three different perfumes because on the off chance that maybe your sinuses are stuffed up, girl, like you're gonna be stinking to high heavens. She goes in the kitchen and Phoebe and Piper are just like, good God, what is this? And he's like, oh, you know, I thought my perfume was stale. I couldn't smell it. And they were like, how the hell do you not smell that? Phoebe ends up talking to Piper and saying, oh, well, I found a love spell in the book. And Robert poured proof champagne back in the bottle. And I think it may be a love spell. And Robert may be a warlock. And apparently Prue is getting off of the back of a motorcycle with this guy with piercings all over his face. He's a real catch. And she's kissing him, and they make a comment that it said that it looked like a jewelry box exploded on his face. That was one of my favorites. And Piper's just like, where does she even find these guys? So this guy brings her back home, and Piper's like, oh, did you have a hot kiss? And every time Prue kisses a guy now, she's like, immediately after it, she regrets ever doing it. But she's so tempted to do it in the first place, she does it. So they tell Prue about the possibility of Robert casting a love spell, and she was like, I don't know, but something's weird going on. Well, duh. Like, okay. Doesn't take a genius, guys. And then they're like, oh, we can come up with a counterspell for it. We'll be fine. So they go up to the book, and they find a power of three spell to link their powers together so it would be powerful enough for them to break this love spell. And then they cast the spell, and Prue's like, oh, I feel great. Prue's like, well, I'm definitely not ever going to kiss again, at least for a while. And that's where that kind of ends. They think that they've broken the spell, and Prue's swearing off kissing. So,
right. Yeah. Then they're at Quake again. Piper and Phoebe are at Quake. Phoebe's attempting to draw the logo for the Quake stationery. Mm-hmm. She starts drawing these symbols that she's like, wait, I recognize these. This was on that tower card, that tower tarot card. Why am I drawing these? How interesting. And then Piper is still worried about Billy and the spread of the mystery disease. She keeps thinking about Billy. And then while Phoebe is looking at this thing she drew, she has a premonition of Prue dying on the floor while the fortune teller Elena is waving a tarot card over her, the black tower card. And then Jake calls Piper wondering where she went to the premiere night, like why she left him, and if she's still the thing for Billy, he's still up on this Billy thing. Mm-hmm. And then Prue comes home. She's like, you guys gotta leave, I have a hot date tonight. He's coming over for dinner.
Okay, great, noted. That's fine, it's my house too.
Yeah, right. But then as she's preparing, you know, to get ready, Robert appears. She thinks it's her date, but then Robert appears instead. He wants to take her out. And then Prue is just so hateful. She's like, what are you doing here? She's like, get out.
This guy, he's very interesting. Like, even a normal guy should not be this randomly showing up around.
Right.
Like, it's right. Weird.
And like, it's weird. Like, take a hint. I mean, I know she's really rude, but if this was me, I would have given up a long time ago. Yeah. Like, she's obviously not interested. Like,
just move on, dude.
Yeah. So she brushes him away, and she starts to cook for her hot date that's coming over. She's just cooking. She's like, I don't smell any of this food I'm cooking, but it must be fine. And and she's slicing away, and she cuts herself, and she's like, oh, I don't. So she's like, I don't feel any pain. Whatever, this is fine. And then she's like, sees blood, and Piper's looking at her. She's like, what is wrong with you? Why are you bleeding all over the place?
Yeah, and she's the weird thing that they comment in that chapter is like, Prue's like, oh, I think I'm getting my smell back. I can smell the blood burning.
Right, like, ugh. Like that's not. Yeah, that was so creepy. That was really creepy. It's like, yeah. It's bubbling. I smell it bubbling.
It made me like so grossed out. It was like, of all the things to smell that evening,
right?
The thing that's, yep, it's great. And so Phoebe and Piper are now attending to Prue, and they bandage her up. And then the doorbell rings, and Phoebe goes to check the door, And here's this like young guy that was even younger than the skateboarder. So I'm guessing he's now a high school dude.
Right.
I'm in college. We're going younger. It's fine. And he's just like, oh, does the girl with the black hair live here? You don't even know her name. That's great. And Phoebe's just like, nope. And he's like, oh, well, I can just have dinner with you then. Talky move, dude. you've got some guts. And Phoebe's like, right. No. And he's like, oh, okay, some other time then. They go back to the book and try to look more on to those tarot cards and see if there's anything in the book about that. Because, you know, with Phoebe's premonition and Elena, she's like, okay, there's some kind of connection here. They end up finding this page, a man with dark hair and blue eyes. And it says that it's a warning that this Lascaris, is that how we would say it?
Lascaris, yeah.
He was a powerful warlock who arrived in France in the late 1700s. And they were like, oh, okay. Well, he sounds interesting. He would charm young women and have them collect his life force by kissing men. He needed the strength of these men to keep him young and viral for centuries. So they're like, oh, okay, kissing. Yes, Prue's been doing a lot of that. We're on the right track.
They just keep inching and inching a little closer every time.
Every single day, they're just finding out one other clue. Two months go by, it's fine.
And then Prue is dreaming of the Midnight Phantom again. Mm-hmm. And she's overwhelmed with desire and fear. So it's like, well, she's like conflicted. She's like, I want you, but I'm scared, but I want you even more.
Yes.
And he's, you know, she sees him and he's like, you gave me life, la, 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 la. and he kisses her. But this time it like starts to drain her. Mm-hmm. And she feels like no passion. And she's like, whoa, this is different. And she wakes up and she tries to get out of bed, but she can no longer stand. She can't walk anymore.
Yeah. She could like barely move on her side.
Yeah.
That creeped me out, to be honest.
I'm like, okay, so I'm losing my sense of smell, losing my pain factor, and now I can't walk. This is great.
I'm just dying. It's fine.
So then this is when Piper goes to the cafe they were at the beginning of the book, and she sees Elena talking to Robert. I guess she's telling his fortune, and she goes up to them, and Elena's like, you! And she like takes off and bolts. And she's like, what is going on?
She runs a lot.
She runs fast. And then Robert's just like right back there, whatever. And she's chasing Elena to her car. And she's like, oh, I'm going to freeze her. How about this? She freezes her. But Elena's in her car and the door's locked. She's like, well, that was useless.
Which I think is very interesting. And I know that it's come up in like several like chats with other fans. But like they say like in the first season, Piper can only freeze the things in the room that she's in. But right. If the windows are up and this girl is sitting in her car, can she freeze
the car? The car? Right.
So that,
because if they're, yeah.
They're not in the same room, technically.
Right. So, yeah, is she freezing her? Because maybe she could freeze the car, but not her. You know, maybe that's how it should work. But
exactly. I don't know. It was a little weird, but.
Mm-hmm. But it was like, this is kind of worthless. Thing to write, like, why write this if you can't even do anything with it? But exactly. Okay, yeah. So then she tries to go find Robert again. She goes back there, she's like, maybe I'll get Robert, and she's like, oh wait, he's gone too.
Well, that was fun. I guess like put in another like Easter egg that Robert was, you know, the phantom, you know, he's with her with the cards. And I don't know, for me there was a lot of fluff in the book.
Yeah. It's like, this was, you could have cut this all. Mm-hmm. This was not needed at all.
Yeah. He was already creepy enough. Like.
Right. So then Piper then goes to, she interviews a waiter that catered the Cleburne party. She's like, oh, wait, you were at that party. Tell me about what happened. She's like, well, he's like, I'm the only one that Prue didn't kiss, so I'm not sick. She's like, oh. So everyone that Prue kissed is sick. Interesting. I'm starting to get the clues.
Finally, another the next day.
Right. And then Piper's like, oh, wait, I have to go on a date with Jake to make up for this. I totally forgot. I'm going to run over there.
Oh, this poor dude, too.
So they have a little, yeah, they have a little moment. They talk some more, and they nearly kiss again. But then Piper's like, oh, whoa.
I got to go.
It's like, it must have been the New Year's Eve kiss. Why didn't I think of this before? I'm leaving.
Oh, man. Some of the things in this book, and just, I feel like this narrative specifically was a little bit more campy for like season one things.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure.
I don't think it fit within the time frame, but you know, no. It's fine.
Right.
So then we jump back to it's Prue's kind of perspective, and she's having like tunnel vision. She can't really see anything but like maybe a little bit of light at this point. So her body's shutting down completely. It's pretty scary just to think about personally. Mm-hmm. But she didn't want to completely close her eyes, because at that point then, you know, she would just be in darkness. It was freaking her out. So then it jumps to Phoebe, because Prue's just laying there in bed. There's not much we can say about her. And jumps to Phoebe, and she goes to the Claiborne mansion to try to figure out what was going on. And she talks to the rich guy, Lloyd. He's like, oh, I don't usually let people in. And Phoebe was like, oh, I just need to ask some questions about what happened. He's like, everybody needs to know about the New Year's party. And so he lets her in because she starts asking him about Robert. And he's like, oh, he's a great guy. I've bought and things from him for years. Do you want to come upstairs and see this chest set? Like, out of all
it's so stupid. And this chessboard has nothing to do with anything. Nope. And like, what? Why are we here? Why are we looking at this? Exactly. It doesn't make any sense.
We just had to get Phoebe in the door, but it was the dumbest reason to get her in the door.
Right. Right.
And so as they're walking up to see this chess set, she sees like the necklace, and she's like trying to force a premonition, which, you know, in the show, I love it every time she does this because her face is like scrunched up and constantly. So I was just imagining this the whole time. She's like trying to force one, and nothing happens. But as she was like leaving, she was getting like a headache or whatever as she was passing the necklace case. And then she got a premonition, and she sees Prue embraced with a cloak man, with the symbols like the Black Tower, tarot card up and down his robe, and they kiss, and then Prue falls to the floor lifeless. And the tower card from Elena's deck is floating down onto Prue's lips. And she says, and a final kiss of death. And Phoebe's really shook about that. So then she's like, oh, Prue doesn't have much time left now. So now we have to rush. After all of these days, I'm pretty sure it's been like 2 weeks, guys.
Piper, the next chapter is Piper, Phoebe, they're at home. They're like, we're going to look at the book again and see maybe there's more answers that we missed the first time. And then they come around this emerald necklace entry. Now they said the emerald necklace belonged to a witch who fought a very powerful warlock named Lascaris. The witch imprisoned Lascaris inside the emerald with a spell that gave the warlock only one chance to escape every century at 12:01 a.m. New Year's Day. Like, it's very specific. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the chances of that happening are very often, but apparently it did. But then Phoebe comes up with the theory that Prue is a conduit and Lascaris is inside of her. Very smart. Finally, something.
We've only got a few pages left. It's fine. We're right. Almost there, guys.
We're almost there. And then Piper and Phoebe go to Claiborne's and they steal the necklace. They just freeze everything, steal it, and leave. And like, we got it. Yay.
So then we flash back to Prue just being there, essentially a living corpse, and she can no longer see anything. And then it kind of sucks her into the cloaked man, like this kind of I wouldn't call it a vision because she's like present with him.
I think it's like her inside, both of them inside her mind, since he's like inside her. Yeah. I feel like they're kind of like dream sorcerer, like they're her dream.
Anyway, so he pulls her in there, and you know, she's like, but you said my kisses give you life. And she's like, not when I kiss you, but when you kiss others, because that's how I get my life force. And now I no longer need you. And then the weird thing is she brings up Robert because he wasn't affected by any of this. And he's like, well, you waited for him to kiss you. That was the weirdest plot line I've ever seen, because why did that matter? Like, their lips still touched, and it was after 1201. So after this, it should have happened, but apparently it didn't. Piper and Phoebe, they start doing this spell, and they have to draw an oval on the floor with ashes and all of this other stuff. I guess that's the reason why they took her up to the attic, so they could draw on the floor.
It's all kinds of elaborate. Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is like the most crazy spell.
They went into it hard. And so they're going through the spell, and they have the emerald necklace now, and they put it on Prue. And so they're like, okay, well, it's a power of three spell, but we've only got the power of two. But maybe, just maybe, she can say it in her mind, and it'll make all the things happen. And apparently that didn't work. But we get interrupted because Elena shows up randomly, and they're like, what the hell are you doing here? And Phoebe's like, she's here to kill Prue.
And Elena's there. She's like, burst through the door. She claims that she's there to help Piper and Phoebe, but they don't trust her. It's like, no, stay back. We got you. We're going to tie you up. We're going to tie your hands up. Get out of this room. And she's like, why did you run when I tried to talk to you before? She's like, I was afraid that, you know, you were covered in darkness. I was afraid, but then I did the cards again for myself, and I realized that I meant to help. I'm like, oh, okay. So, sure.
Okay.
And then they just tie her up, and then they go back in there, and they try the spell to save Prue, to no success. But then they're like, oh, I guess we should ask Elena what she knows, and they go back to her. She's like, what do we do? She's like, I don't know what to do. I just came here.
Yes. Okay, you're such hell. And Piper's like, well, we don't know. We just, our sister's dying. We need you to help. And so then Phoebe's like, okay, well, maybe because of my premonition, she had her tarot card out. And so we need to do that. And Elena needs to be standing over Prue. And she's not here to hurt her. So maybe I was wrong. So she's going to help save her. They're like, oh, but we're witches and we won't harm you as long as you're being straight with us. And they vaguely like threaten her. Like, you
and
know,
no
like,
funny business or yeah, else.
Exactly. And so they're like, okay, well, we need to essentially reenact my premonition. And then it cuts to Prue, like, in her mind state. And she's, like, standing there close to the hooded man. And she sees him at this altar. And he has a piece of parchment, and there's, like, a spell on it. And Prue reads it.
Yeah, just herself. She's reads it in her mind, whatever.
In her mind, yeah.
She memorizes it.
Yeah. And the words are written in blood, which all of the things with blood, it's great. And she's trying to summon her powers, but nothing works. Well, no duh, you can't even walk. Like, and then she was thinking about the words on the parchment, and that the kiss had given him life, and another would slice their bond like a knife. So then she's like, I know what I have to do. I have to kiss him. And then it cuts back to Piper being in the attic, and she could feel like the surge of energy around her. And then this glowing comes out of the necklace. And there he was, the hooded figure.
It was kind of crazy imagery, because they have like Prue's body convulsing, and then like him coming out of like blood coming out of her pores, and he's coming out of the blood. I'm like, oh my God, that is terrifying.
It was a sight, and I really don't know if that would make it in the show.
No, oh, definitely not. So, oh my gosh. Prue started to feel free of Lascaris' control. Her senses have been returning. Her mind was still a little sluggish, though. But then Lascaris started targeting Piper. He's going to start kissing her now, make her his next victim, and her freezes weren't working, so she's freaking out. But then Prue wakes up, and she starts reciting the spell that she saw in her mind's eye, that she memorized, that they burned and in her mind.
There was a lot of words to that spell, and I was like, how did you memorize all of that?
And it's just really stupid to me, too, because it's like, why would you invite somebody into your lair and have the spell that vanquishes you right there in the open? I was like,
smart.
Like, sure, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to get rid of the spell, but not until you look at it first. But she's seeing the spell. Elena's like, oh, I'll say it with you, even though I'm not a charm donor or anything, but I'll say it with you. And I'm
We'll chant it together. It's fine. I'm here, like, for moral support.
Like, why aren't Piper and Phoebe saying anything? They're just sitting around, just watching them say it, like, oh, okay. And then Prue grabbed the tower card, and he was sucked back into the emerald. So they're saying the spell while they're holding the card, and he gets sucked back into the emerald, and that's that.
Freaking finally. Back at the Rail Yard Cafe, and apparently we've jumped a week since they vanquished Lascaris. So, and Billy was fine. Everybody was fine. Nobody died. Everything was great. And then Jake, the hot guy from Quake, shows up and he catches Piper as she's like tripping up the stairs. She's had so many accidents in this novel. And he's like, I'm designing a set for a new movie where the hero is having a hard time getting the heroine alone so he can kiss her. He wants to take her to dinner someplace unusual. Maybe someplace like this. And their entire interaction, I just think, is so hilarious. And she's like, but this place is usually packed. And he's like, well, I may have like made arrangements to make this, you know, place where we could be alone. She's like, ooh.
Well.
Romantic. And he's like, well, do you think she would mind if the hero kissed her before they met for dinner? And she's like, well, I don't think she would mind at all. And then they kiss.
Finally.
I know. This is a huge buildup just for one freaking kiss.
Right. For a character we won't care about later at all.
Exactly. I mean, come on. Let's bring Leo in here.
Mm-hmm.
Phoebe and Prue are waiting on Piper, and she tells them about how she fell into Jake's arms and they had a kiss, tells about the date for that night, and Phoebe goes, sounds like Jake has already put a spell on your heart. It's so corny. It makes me laugh. Piper was like, well, you know, I was noticed more lately. And Prue was like, well, her predictions were a little too accurate for me. And Phoebe was like, well, wait a minute, I didn't even come close to getting any money. And then she bends down and there's like a freaking quarter, and she's like, well, there it is.
Yep, the end.
I came into money. Now it's the end.
Poor Phoebe. So now we're into the final thoughts.
All right. I don't know if I would personally like to see this as an episode.
Me neither. It's just too gimmicky and too simple.
It is. And with all of the time jumps and them taking forever to figure this out, I feel like if they made this into an episode, it'd be a very short episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of seeing the same stuff over and over, a lot of rigmarole, mm-hmm. a lot of things that don't mean anything. I did not care for the Jake storyline at all. this is too much. Too like, whatever.
I didn't fit in, especially with the timeline. Like, she's supposed to be seeing Leo at the time.
Right, right.
I mean, it was a nice look into their world without it being so familiar from the episodes, but I don't know if it aligns as much as I would like it.
I did have occasional, like, thoughts of Bright and Gloom, of like, you know, Prue kissing mm-hmm. kissing the Justin Zile guy, and then you know, her being in the like the her black outfit with the veil over her. I'm like, these are kind of cool images, I think, that would probably fit in this world a little bit. But
I feel like there was definitely several instances where it was just like random things throughout the series that we could compile, and there was the story.
Would this be considered canon? Not to me.
No.
I do think that Prue really being, blown away, being swooning over this mysterious phantom guy is kind of on brand for her, at least her inner desire, Prue.
Yes.
Because, you know, the blue sweater Prue is the same as the astral Prue from Just Harried. People don't always make that connection, but they're the same one, and it's about her inner desire, and she, you know, she is always kind of goes for that bad boy, and she wants to like really let loose. And so I thought that made sense for her.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they would probably go hand in hand. This one was just a little bit too frivolous with who she was going after. I mean,
sure.
But I do like, you know, seeing Prue a little bit more loosened up. just generally. And I think the show got to those points. I'm excited to see what more lies ahead of Prue in the novels. But like I mentioned before, I've never read any of, I have most of the books, but I'm reading them kind of as you're going through the podcast because I've never read them.
Sure.
So this was kind of my first look into the novels. So I wonder if they're...
There are, because I've read these a lot. I've read a lot of them.
Okay.
They do get better than this.
Okay, I can tell
you
thank
that.
You.
I can tell you that much. Yeah, they do. There are some that are very interesting. Actually, the next book, number three, is kind of cool because the powers get like inverted. Ooh. So like, you know, Piper like can freeze herself, and whenever Prue tries to move something, it like flies back at her instead. So that's kind of a fun thing that happens in the next book. So look out for that. This one, I remember I read this when I was like 12 or 13 was the first time I read this book. And it was funny, as I was reading it, I was like, oh my gosh, I kind of remember this.
It is interesting that like we can pull back on those vague memories sometimes of like random childhood things. But I don't know what it, I just liked the cover art and a lot of things that I just never opened them. And I'm a huge book reader. I just never, I guess because I'm so attached to the show that I didn't want these books to ruin it in a way.
Sure. I do think that the dialogue that they have with them is usually pretty on par. Like I can picture them saying the stuff that they say. So that's always good at least. And they, there are some duds in there, but there are some also really some nice ones. So be on the lookout.
I'm very excited to see what comes next.
Did you want to read some of the spells from this book?
Sure. Can I ask your opinion about these spells?
Yes, we're going to read them and then see if we like them or not.
All right. Okay.
Love's potion spell.
Yes. For kisses sweet to turn to passion, you must be willing to take this action. With a potion sweeter than wine, make the one you love become thine. But beware, for if you falter, you lose your chance, and this spell you can never alter.
I didn't like it.
I didn't either.
I don't like it. It's like, this is not a spell. This is like instructions for like for like some kind of recipe or something.
And I felt like it was too wordy
for
the show. I mean, there was other spells in here as well, but I didn't feel like it was in line with the way that the spells in the show are.
Right.
I don't think that even the structure of the spell is.
There's no real flow or no real rhyme, really. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah.
I'd burn it.
Burn it. Me too. Yep. Burn it down.
Done.
All right. I'm gone. Now we have to counter a love spell. It's a power of three spell that requires a circle to be drawn on the floor, and the spell needs to be recited thrice. I'm only going to say it once. Okay. The power of love comes from the heart. The desire to kiss is but a start. Remove the spell to separate the two. Remove the spell placed on Prue. So at least this one has a better flow, but it's still not good.
But they apparently get this spell from the book, okay?
Right.
And this is where it didn't align with me, because in the book, did they replace who it was placed on?
Yeah, they're not going to have their names in the spell. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I was like, how do you know Prue would be the one affected? Like,
exactly. And then if you it's supposed to be, like, this thing that has all of this knowledge. And, you know, they did say that at one point they were thinking about giving it its own kind of, like, character in a way. Which I'm kind of glad they didn't go that route. But it's not omniscient. Like, it doesn't know that it's going to be placed specifically on her. So I didn't really like that one personally.
Nope. Actually, I'm going to tell you, like, I don't like any of the spells in this book.
Me either. Okay. So this one is to banish Lascaris, and it's a power of three spell. The spell requires ashes from a fire, spider webs, mistletoe, sage, and candles. Use the ashes to draw a large oval in the center with candles around it. Smudge it with sage for purity. Break off mistletoe berries and place them around the outer edge of the oval. And recite. We're finally getting to the spell. It was very long instructions.
Yes.
Lovers meet and kiss under mistletoe. Now it will restore the power he stole through his kisses.
Okay.
Lay the spider webs in the center of the oval. Then place the conduit. Okay, so this is still instructions then.
Right, there's more.
Okay. Lord, there's so many instructions. Then place the conduit or the one holding the tower card in the center. recite an incantation while lighting the candles, place the emerald necklace on the conduit's chest. All right. Now we're at the spell. It says, I call on the power of three, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We imprison Lascaris because we must. To spare the innocent, to protect the meek, we reduce your evil power to very weak. Into the prison you must go, never again to be our foe. Ugh,
so bad. It's so bad.
It's very wordy.
Yeah, and like they don't. It's that there's no rhythm to it. Mm-mm. And then the things that you say, it's just very poor language. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no. All right. Parchment inscription. This is the final one that vanquished him.
Yes.
The conduit must hold the Black Tower card. Evil you are, evil you shall remain, but not in this world where you inflict pain. The kiss you gave others took their life. The kiss that gave you sliced our bond like a knife. My lips to yours is the stronger power. Within the emerald live inside your blackened tower. That was probably the best one of all of them, but right. Still not good.
No, I feel like I don't know if these are set up the way that we would in the book. And they're very wordy overall. I don't feel grammatically they make a lot of sense. I mean, like, you can understand what it's trying to get at, but why do we need to do it in that manner?
Yeah, it's taking too much of a journey. Like, this is too, like, no one's going to ever memorize this. Like, how does she even memorize that? I don't know. But
yeah, proves but a yeah. thing. She's yeah. a saint.
But yeah, burn all these spells like they did in the book. Burn them down. Never see them again. I don't.
Nope, we're not referring to them. I'm not going to add these spells to my book. There's no way. We're getting rid of them.
I think it's game time.
What is this? Some kind of game?
Grimoire Games.
Some people think this is entertainment.
So I'm going to give you. I have 10 kisses from the show. Listed.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to give you 3 clue words, and you will tell me who the kiss was between and which episode is from.
Now, do I need to get the episode name?
Yes. You don't have to have the number, but the episode name. Okay. The main thing is the kisses. If you know the episode name, that's just bonus points. Okay. So the first one, tub, ring, drain.
It is, and I need to say who it was between.
Yes.
Okay, so it was Cole and Phoebe.
Yes.
And it was in the episode in season 4 where I'm awful at episode names.
Okay. Generally. Okay.
So, that's why I'm asking about like the name of the episode.
Okay.
I
know every episode number by heart.
I can tell you what happens in the episode. I watched them as like you would Netflix binging. So for me, and I can recall some of the episode names, but all of the episodes flow together in my head. I never really caught a lot of notes about the episode names.
Okay, cool. All right, so now we're going to do heart, body, V.
Heart, body, V. Heart.
Yes. It was part of a quote in the episode, if that helps.
Oh, those are some pretty generic words. Heart, body, V.
Heart to thee, body to thee.
They're
always wedding. And forever.
Yeah, between Piper and Leo.
Yeah!
And I thought that it was V as in the letter. So I was going Valentine's Day, and I was thinking of Leo's card that has the heart. I don't know what body was, but I was putting those together. Okay. Yes.
Yes. So yeah, you got Piper and Leo, so that's all that matters. You got it. Heart to the body to the always and forever. So mode
I'm gonna yell it back at them.
So mode it be. Yeah. All right. And then we got bench, clouds, lose.
Oh, it's the kiss between Andy and Prue.
Yeah.
Sad.
Deja vu all over again. Season 1, episode 22. Yes. This one might be tricky. Dinner, lights, rooftop.
Oh, Paige and Henry.
Yeah, she tells him she's a witch. Cool. That is in Repo Manor. Then we got tall, dark, naked.
Tall, dark, and naked. I describe a lot of things.
Yeah. We're rescuing you from the tall, dark, and naked man.
Oh, my God. Okay. Shit. Listen, it's between Paige and the being that she created, the dream guy. Right? No.
No.
I don't know where that one is from then.
Okay, okay. It is a Prue and Bane.
Yes!
Give me a sign. Okay, recipe, touch, ghost.
Oh, it's between Piper and the ghost guy from season one.
Yeah, Piper and Mark, Dead Man Dating, yes.
I love that episode.
Awesome. Jen Cho, he's so good.
They would have made a really cute couple, I think.
They would have. They really would. All right, now we got Bed, Stars, Noogie.
Paige and Glenn.
Paige and Glenn, yes. They don't say Noogie in that episode, yeah, but I figured I would give it away. It's from A Night to Remember.
And that's a great episode. I love the costume.
Yes. I know. The evil enchantress, yes. Then we have Time, Future, Phoenix.
Oh, between Chris and what is her name? I can't even. Bianca.
Yeah. Bianca. Yeah, there you go.
It had to come to me. I'm scrolling through all 8 seasons in my head.
It's always crazy when I put you on the spot like this. Yes. It's like, I know. It's like stuff you know. It's like just escapes you when you're under the pressure. I totally get it. All right. This was season 6, episode 10, Crisscrossed. Mm-hmm. Okay, this one I'm going to say like Sailor Moon because I have to. It's grayscale movie makeup.
It's between Phoebe and Billy.
Yeah. I love
that episode. That's one of my favorites.
Season 2, episode 18, Chick Flick. Such a good one. I think it's a lot of people's favorites because it's just real fun.
Oh, yeah. And it's so campy, but in a good way.
This one I had different words, but I'm just going to say this. Kiss this, bitch.
Oh, It's the between Leo and the evil she is like a seductress. What is Siren. Siren? There we go. Couldn't think of the name.
But you got it. You knew exactly what it was. So that's good.
I can recall the episode. It was a very cute game.
It was a cute game. Yes, I just thought of it. It was fun. Yeah, I think you got all of them except for the what? What was it? The only one was the Prue and Bane one. Everything else you got, so that's good. Awesome.
There was a few kisses during the entire series that always make me cringe, and they're mainly in between Phoebe and Cole. And
they are sloppy, aren't they?
They are very sloppy kissers, and I don't know if it's because they were trying to convey passion and heat, but it was always like the most noises you could ever imagine and just snapping. And it always makes me cringe. I'm like, come on, guys, we're not all that dramatic. It's great. And the times that like you can see, well, it'd be Alyssa sucking on Julian's face and like his lip is just pulled out, it visibly makes me cringe. Not the best.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. All right. I guess we'll end with a tip for future white letters.
I was out being a force of good in the universe.
What is your moral of the day today?
Don't be kissing people randomly in anywhere that you are. Number one, make sure they're of age because I don't think Prue did. And you never know what kind of diseases they've got on their mouth. Listen, that's just a tip for Prue. But also the tip for the people who wrote these spells, you need to work on those.
Yeah. My tip would be, if you notice your sister going crazy wacky for days and days and days, speak up You know, just something, take some action.
It'll
a little
take
sooner.
2 weeks to figure this out, guys. Yes. Oh my gosh. I still cannot believe those time jumps, but I think that was it a cute little story? Yes. But I don't know if I would revisit this book again.
Right. I mean, I did after 20 years, but I think it's definitely not one of my favorites. It's not something that.
Yes. Maybe we'll have another future favorite. We've got plenty of books to read through.
We do. All right. So I guess that's the end of that. Where can people find your social media?
I don't personally share a lot of my collection. If you're looking for that on my personal account, I am starting a Instagram page specifically dedicated to that, where people can find a little bit more of my collection, where I've gathered things that I've created or things that I'm working on, and hopefully tips on how to do it yourself. Or, you know, I love to just chat with people about their collections or just about the show. So that account is actually CharmedCollector1329 on Instagram. And I am in a bunch of the Facebook groups as well for Charmed. There's a couple of different groups that I'm a part of. I mainly post in Hallowell Manor Collectibles. That's a good group to join. Mm-hmm.
It's great. I do love it. I'm in there.
It's a great group. There's a lot of good people. And I often, if I stumble across things that I find that people are collecting, I do try to help a lot of people build up their collection. And I love to chat with everybody. But you can also find me, you know, my personal account is just, it's Brittany17 on Instagram.
Yeah. And you can find me at KGZ87 or follow our Words of the Witches podcast at Words of the Witches on Instagram. We're also on Facebook, Words of the Witches, a Charmed podcast. And then if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please send us an email, wordsofwitchespod@gmail.com. And you can follow me at Hanging with the Hallowells as well. So cool. See you next time.
Bye.